prosperity of the Linux audio in the overall community of multimedia arts. So the question then is why try to do this? Obviously, there is plenty of good things happening on a daily basis within the Linux audio community. And there are some things that here I put together which, in my opinion, do bear some importance for our long-term, prosperity. By the way, for those of you who are doing this online, I guess I should just mention that the slides should be online very shortly, so you'll be able to keep up with that. So first thing that I want to mention is this idea of critical mass. As you've all noticed and been aware of this on one level or the other, Linux audio has been picking up a significant momentum, especially in recent years, and I think we have now reached that point where we have definitely a lot more users than we have developers, and we're in a situation where a lot of mailing list discussion is basically happening around the issue of how do I do this and how do I do that, and a lot less about specific development issues, although that may not be representative because obviously certain mailing lists have separated themselves from the main branch of discussion so that the noise level is kept down to minimum. And also this issue of complacency, which I see as a lose-lose situation. What I mean by complacency is basically while we are all, you know, part of this community, there might be sometimes an approach to being a part of a community in respect to providing software because we personally need that software and then giving it also to community as a kind of a byproduct and really not caring what happens to the community in the long run. And I feel like that kind of approach does not yield constructive results. To give you kind of a simple example of that would be we all, I'm sure, on some level or the other, crave creating certain software down the road, but yet our resources are limited, and therefore certain projects are simply put on the back burner because we don't have the resources to put them together. Now, if we grow a community to an extent where we can have more developers, and statistically, whenever the community becomes larger, we get more developers involved as a result of it, and if we can foster this kind of intercommunication and collaboration in projects, which some of the projects are already doing very nicely, then projects will come to fruition faster, and as a result of it, we'll be able to do more and reach more of our goals, which we have set up before us. There's also this idea of striving towards self-sufficiency. We're very highly dependent, and in that respect, to some extent, fragile in terms of how we get supported by the audio hardware vendors. Just to give you kind of a silly example of that would be, obviously, if we didn't have audio hardware to run Linux on, we would obviously not have Linux audio. And so if we can strive towards this idea of self-sufficiency in a kind of efficient fashion, then we can definitely ensure the idea of longevity. In other words, independence from whatever happens to the commercial market. There's also this idea of cross-platform software portability that yields questionable benefits to the Linux community. And this is not to put down all the efforts of the cross-platform compatibility. I think it's a great effort because this is in the true spirit of GPL. And we've seen at this conference already some of the fine examples of that kind of cross-platform contributions which return back to the Linux community. However, I would deem those more as an exceptions than as rules, and therefore there is a genuine fear that what happens if we have Ardour running very stably on OS X and there's no initiative for OS X users to in any shape or form switch back to Linux or contribute to the Linux community and vice versa. So then basically that kind of a bleed over of the software really does not ultimately help the Linux community or Linux audio community to become stronger. We also have the concern of dubious audio hardware support. This is an overstatement, but nonetheless, I think that it is a valid concern, and that is that currently we have no working FireWire audio interfaces in Linux. There are some initiatives that are happening currently, but to the best of my understanding, none of them have reached the milestone of actually making a audio hardware work. And of course, most of you might be familiar with the recent discussion regarding the RME's lack of support of Fireface. And then finally, we have this idea, concern of not enough incentives that expose Linux audio where the exposure matters the most. And again, this may be to some extent subjective, but I'm a firm believer from everything that I've experienced so far is that we cannot grow a community of artists who foster Linux audio usage unless we have more exposure of Linux audio in the arts community or in the post-production community where we, I mean, the communities that we're trying to target on one level or the other. And so therefore, the idea is to promote the real world utilization, namely art or other forms of audio-related projects, which clearly show that Linux audio is adept at doing these things. And again, the question is not whether we know that. The question is whether the outside world is aware of that. And on a daily basis, whenever I speak to somebody about Linux, you know, there's still a lot of ignorance on that level. People don't even know what Linux is and what are the true benefits behind it. Let's see what's happening with my slide. Okay, so now the question is, we have these, you know, reasons why this project should be done, but then the big question is, how do we do it? And there's, in order to kind of demystify the incentive that I'm about to propose, I would like to first kind of provide you with a very quick overview of what the Linux Audio Consortium is currently doing and how it functions. So here's a kind of a very ugly and rough breakdown of Linux Audio Consortium's current function to the best of my understanding, and that is that we have developers and contributors who become who join this consortium. There's no fees to join the consortium. It's just basically a member group which endorses the Linux Audio Consortium, therefore recognizing its importance. And so therefore you have a board which consists of one representative from each of these projects. So for instance, you know, if Ardour becomes, is Ardour actually part of the consortium yet or not? Or sure. So then basically, let's say one member from the Ardour developer group, we can say Paul, would be then on this board. So therefore, from each of these projects, we have one member board who is helping to steer the interests and incentives provided by the Linux Audio Consortium. And of course, as the consortium grows, there's a larger sphere of influence that particular consortium exerts. There is an elected director that used to be Daniel James until, I guess, any day now. And basically, it is now discussed that directorship should be moving around on a yearly basis. And of course, with developers and contributors becoming part of a consortium, there are certain projects and ideas that spawn as a result of it. And most of these projects are currently limited because of the fiscal ineptness of the group. There's no monetary inflow into that particular consortium, and it obviously wasn't even designed with that in mind. So, I mean, there are donations that happen. I know recently that AMD had donated some money to help out with the booth organization at the Sounds Expo, which is something that is very important because this is where that exposure happens, where the Linux audio is being exposed to the commercial vendors. And so therefore, these projects can also then yield media exposure and, you know, create liaisons and contacts with commercial vendors. And of course, then the commercial vendors eventually and hopefully will be part of the projects that the consortium is helping steer. So therefore, if there's any interest in creating these FireWire devices that will work with Linux, obviously, then these projects could be converging points between the commercial vendors. And I guess I should use these silly laser pointers. So you have commercial vendors which are then merging or converging with the developers with the help or liaisonship of the consortium, and therefore good things happen. Naturally, of course, it's not critical that that consortium is there for these relationships to be established. As we've seen in the past, some drivers had been created without the existence of the consortium, but at the same time, if we do have that representation out there where it matters, then there's that sense of we are of the commercial vendors that they are feeling like they're talking to somebody who is an organization or an entity rather than an individual. And unfortunately, that is something that still many companies are seeking or looking for. They're looking for some kind of a tangible representation. So what I would like to propose as the new incentives is expansion of this model. And the critical thing that does happen is this establishment of a foundation. Okay, and what foundation means is basically it would be the consortium is already, I believe, registered as a not-for-profit organization. So I think it becomes just an issue, where does this organization become situated, and because of the tax evasion purposes and the others. But basically, once the foundation is created, it's a kind of a pool of money that we could then tap into for various projects. Now, first, let's look at how does this foundation get money in. Well, there would be an addition of user members, and that is that user members would be paying, you know, yearly dues to become members of this, and in return would yield some benefits as a result of it. These yearly dues would be, when looked at from individual base standpoint, would be very symbolic. You know, we're talking maybe 20 bucks, depending what the interest of the community will be. And so therefore, that money would end up being in the foundation, which would not be, you know, directly accessible to any individual for abuse. There would be a bylaws and certain rules set up so that basically that money is only used for the benefit of the community. Also, the same thing could be done with the developers and contributors. If any of the projects become, you know, commercially successful, you know, they could be asked to maybe donate some money into the foundations in order to foster kind of a communication. Now, how do these benefits pay back to the users and developers? Well, for users, we could organize certain incentives which would encourage users to become part of. So, for instance, we could hold concerts or even artistic competitions, which would be sponsored by this foundation, and therefore users would submit their works. Somebody would be picked out the winner. We could create a body of judges which would judge the pieces, and we could move these things around in order to keep things as just as possible. And of course, we could offer other incentives for users. We could create yearly journal which would be registered with the Library of Congress in the United States and other places internationally, so we can get ISS numbers, so therefore it becomes a justifiable publication, and therefore this is a good place that where all the convergence of the new ideas would happen, and at the same time those of you who would be interested in beefing up their resumes with publications, that would be a good place to do that. Developers would get the benefit from a foundation that there will be a certain incentive provided for certain projects. For instance, if there is a large user pool there's a lot of users who are looking for a certain feature in certain program, and we could vote these things out, we can create mechanisms for providing that kind of means of intercommunication, then we can say, okay, we really, let's say, need a certain functionality in certain software, and we need it because the community really craves that at this point. Then we can basically secure some of the foundation money to pay some of the developers to expedite their development pace in order to meet certain milestones at a faster rate. So again, then obviously developers would be funneling some money in if they can, but at the same time, there will be some money returning back at them. Obviously, with the establishment foundation, the board and director would not be necessarily sufficient for the function of the organization, so there will probably be a need of establishment of some officers, whether that be a membership person who will be overseeing addition of the members and providing new incentives for encouraging members to join, and there will be also a treasurer which would oversee how the expenses would be reappropriated. And of course, now you can see that a lot of other errors would be then, let's say, thicker, I guess, visually, because basically there'll be a lot of other things that would become possible to happen as a result of this. So we could use some money for greater media exposure. Let's say, in a very simplistic terms, it could mean maybe a poster in a music magazine, which would target certain software that we offer. We could also have commercial vendors then providing a ways or means to provide tax deduction donation into the foundation. It will be also a good means for users who do not feel that they can contribute constructively as developers or maybe documentation writers, that they could still somehow provide contributions to the community in order to make it to make the community grow and make it better for everybody. And of course, I think the ultimate result will be that suddenly we would have a lot more potential for newer projects and incentives. One of those incentives that I would like to also propose as part of this idea is this idea of made in Linux. And I'm sure you all know about all of those labels on various products that, you know, you buy a toy car for your kid and it says made in China most of the time these days. But generally speaking, you know, you have, every product has a kind of a label where it came from. And even though most of the times we don't care, in that moment when you do care, you're just curious, you suddenly see that it came from there. Now currently I see this issue of cross-platform portability as a great showmanship of just how good GPL can be for everybody. But at the same time, I'm also seeing a lot of ignorance in terms of where does this stuff come from. And therefore, I see that nothing is coming back to the Linux community in terms of at least giving appreciation for what Linux audio community has provided end users with. And so therefore, I would like to propose this idea of made in Linux as part of this incentive and as part of this foundation, where basically every software that would be willing to do this obviously would not be a coercive project, but it would basically, you know, based on the volition of its developers, would provide a certain means or some kind of a logo inside of their software embedded, that every time that somebody looks at about page or it looks at somewhere on the main toolbar, that this logo is persisting there, and suddenly just through that logo, through that persistence, we're suddenly creating this huge amount of exposure, because we constantly see the same persistence happening across the board. Now, we already have some logos in place. You know, we have ALSA logos, we have Linux Audio Developers logo, and so on and so forth. I feel that if we cling on to any of those particular logos, I feel almost that we're somehow limiting ourselves, because not everybody's part of the Linux Audio Developers, and so therefore, you know, they may not feel that they want or comfortable putting that particular logo as part of their project. So therefore, with a big pump and whatever, I would like to present a very silly logo that as initial proposal. And again, I don't think that this should be a final logo. It's just an idea. And I, of course, if anybody here is having a better artistic inclinations, and you know, by all means, I think if this thing is something that the community feels would be a good idea to pursue further, then obviously we could just create this kind of a competition or some kind of a incentive where everybody pulls in their ideas, and eventually we come up with a logo that would be the most appropriate for this. So, without further ado, here's my logo. Okay, and so it's nothing really spectacular, but obviously we have our tux, which obviously is the trademark of Linus Torvalds, so therefore there would be some implications of making sure that Linus is all happy with this. But then, you know, obviously we have speakers, we have sound, we have this blue stuff behind, which is kind of, in my mind, is a kind of inspiration. This is where all of our ideas are coming from, brainstorming, and of course we have this idea of made in Linux, right? So there's some symbolism in that, but obviously the logo itself could be changed. I couldn't care less what the logo ends up being in the end, but I think it's the idea that if every software has this embedded somehow in it, then whoever else is using this, they'll be absolutely becoming curious, because what does this mean, you know? And I think that's where that curiosity could, in the end, pay back. So what would be the long-term benefits of these initiatives? Well, the foundation could obviously promote sponsorship of certain things. So we already mentioned software development, art competitions, conferences, international and or regional incentives for hardware vendors, interfacing between different groups. So we could serve as liaisons between the commercial and our world, media exposure, registered journals. Also, there will be collaboration. As a result, we would have accelerated development of those most important things that we're most clinging upon. And of course, we're also dealing with exposure. Other benefits would be also fostering the end user participation. You know, they could, as members, we could create a means of them voting on the features they're most interested in, so they could voice out their concerns, which would in the end also help us improve our software so that we could help them become more literate within Linux realm. We all are still aware of the lacks in user documentation. So therefore, if we had to provide some money for somebody to build us a professional documentation, that could be a possible way of doing these things. There could be also issue of quality control, which again ties into that, and other, which basically pretty much opens up the whole thing to a discussion. So I guess at this point, what I'm trying to ascertain is, considering that I'll have the opportunity to be part of this Linux Audio Consortium for at least a year, if not longer, then I would like to see exactly what things would end users like to see happening and whether these are some things that you would be interested in. So, any questions or comments? Hopefully as many as possible. Yes.
Any questions? Sorry. Just a second. Please say.
Okay. Anthony Moore. If I may be allowed just to make a very general and perhaps somewhat an outsider's comment, certainly not meant to be disrespectful and perhaps based on my ignorance of all the great work that's gone on that I don't know about. But I would only suggest very kindly that in the whole way you package up this thing and put this idea together and want to, you know, find, which we all do, I think, a safe and secure somehow future for the project. Mm-hmm. The pushing of an idea to somebody will never result in that person's sense of satisfaction if they've had to come some way to understand what it is in front of them. Mm-hmm. So the kind of over-defining of what the possibilities are runs the risk somehow that people, will not have the satisfaction of, in some sense, finding out for themselves. Mm-hmm. I know that either extreme is obviously, I'm not suggesting that you're in the extreme pushiness end.
Sure, sure.
And of course, if you're totally sort of elitist and obscure, nobody even knows you exist. Mm-hmm. But finding this kind of balance in between, I think, is crucial. Mm-hmm. And certainly for me, coming to Linux a few, not so long ago, 5 years ago or so, making very slow progress, I have to say, I take tremendous pleasure in finding things out for myself.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Other questions?
Paul Davis, USA. I don't know. I have a lot of comments. I guess too many to really fit in to the time we have. But I'd also preface this by saying it's always been my natural role in any organization I've been in to tell people why things can't work, mm-hmm. and why they won't work, and why it's not going to work out. With the result, hopefully, that they normally do, because people adapt whatever the plan is. One of the concerns I have about this is, over the last 2 or 3 years, I've had lots of contacts with various commercial vendors who generally approach me first. Mm-hmm. And one of the things this has made me aware of, which I don't know how many people are aware of this, is mm-hmm. just how little money there is in the music technology industry. Mm-hmm. I think if you're in Linux audio and you're doing stuff as a hobby, you sort of have this impression, oh, there's these guys running companies, and they're actually, that there's lots of money floating around. If we could just tap into it somehow, then I could get paid for what I'm doing. Right. But the truth is, there isn't much money floating around. Those companies right now who are doing very well, or at least appear to be doing very well, I won't name any particular names, are doing very well because they have large amounts of venture capital money to keep them afloat. Mm-hmm. You've got companies like Steinberg, who are undoubtedly, the number two company in the field of audio software after DigiDesign, whose, corporate valuation is $25 million. Mm-hmm. It's peanuts. I mean, it's a tiny company. They don't employ very many people. And so I worry that some of this idea is based on this sort of preconception. If we can just tap into what's going on, in the commercial area, mm-hmm. there'll be more resources available, to fund what's going on with Linux. And I think what I see is that there really aren't that many resources out there. Mm-hmm. You know, even if you get a whole bunch of commercial vendors to say, we think Linux is great. You know, we'd like to see, you know, more software running on it. It's a cool system. The actual amount of cash that you'll generate from doing that to pay new developers or to pay for advertisements or whatever, I worry is really very small. Now, having said that, I recognize that, you know, any amount of extra support, you know, even if it's non-financial support, if it's companies saying, you know, we're prepared to say that we, you know, that we want our hardware to run on your operating system, is still a good thing. Mm-hmm. But I just worry that I'm not sure there's this corner that we turn at some point where all of a sudden there's financial resources floating around within the Linux audio community to really make things happen. Mm-hmm. The other point I just made that I was thinking about when I saw the logo was that I think it's probably silly for us to ignore what goes on with Linux and visual art. Mm-hmm. When I was in Rotterdam last November for the Dutch Electronic Arts Festival, that we had workshops there, one on Arda, one on Blender, and it struck me as very indicative that there were probably three to four times as many people there for Blender as for Arda. And I think that's fairly typical, because visual arts on a computer, all you need is your computer. Right. You don't need an audio interface. You don't need to know how to play an instrument, you know, those kinds of things. And so it tends to draw a lot more people to it. There's a lot more people who will pick up their computer to try to make videos or draw art and so on. And we really do have some incredible tools on Linux for doing that. And I think there may be some sense in which we should be piggybacking on the fact that it's not just about audio. You know, mm-hmm. we actually have these other tools that you may be even more interested in than the audio ones. So anyway, I could...
Sure.
Other on all
those. Actually, I'm just going to quickly comment, if you don't mind. I think, yeah, logo is, I think, up for grabs. I think definitely it should not be this way, or I shouldn't say definitely, but, you know, it doesn't have to be this way.
That wasn't meant to be a comment on the aesthetics of the logo at all.
Right.
I was thinking about it when you put it up.
Right. But I think the reason why I presented it within the context it is presented is because I'm speaking to the Linux audio community, which I'm part of. I'm not part of the visual arts community. I mean, I am using Blender occasionally, but I cannot say that I have contributed in any shape or form to the Blender or any other visual arts project. So therefore, you know, it would be great if they use the same logo. I would think it would be awesome if we could expand that across any single application that is being done in Linux. With maybe obviously small alterations, because I don't know how much speaker has to do with Apache project or something like that. You know, the idea is that basically, if the logo could be somehow expanded in that shape or form, that would be great. But again, it's hard for me to you know, impose that impose it on anybody for that matter. But at least I can suggest it to the community that I'm part of. On the other hand, yes, I think also regarding the comment about fiscal prosperity of this. I'm very much aware that there's not much money in this, but the way how I see it is that if we do have this means of doing it, is that I know that certain organizations are more inclined to provide funds for something that is an institution rather than an individual, because it's a very fake notion, but somehow when something is on the paper and it's an institution, and suddenly we have to be somehow official, right, as opposed to just saying, well, you write me a driver and I'll pay you $50 for it or whatever, right? And so that is a benefit. I think the other important aspect of it is that there's a huge pool in comparison of users in comparison to developers, I would say, in Linux audio community at this point, as opposed to 4 or 5 years ago. And therefore, there's a lot of users out there who feel that they cannot contribute somehow, and they would love to contribute. And, you know, I think some users may be inclined to pay for this membership and get some benefits in return, having been part of some other societies of similar scope in the United States, as well as currently of the Seamus Society. I don't know if you heard of that. It's a Society of Electroacoustic Music in the United States. They have a very similar model, even though they're more academically inclined, so therefore they have other avenues of funding. But generally speaking, there are, you know, as long as there are some benefits associated with that membership, yeah, and there's some inflow of money. That money can be used for constructive purposes and make everybody feel like they are chipping into that pool of ideas and resources.
There's some questions.
There is Dave Phillips. Do you mind just for a second?
Okay.
Dave Phillips, USA. Paul's points are well taken, but I think also one of the first steps you'd want to make is to make a cost assessment of what it is you would like to do. And you may find out that it doesn't really require that much money. You know, if you want journalists to write about Linux, you know, you're not talking about thousands of dollars to have them write articles or something, you know. Right. If you want to... You know, it might be more costly to have booths and presentations at shows, things like that. That would probably be the better place to start to get a more accurate idea of what kind of money do you need.
Sure. Yeah. I think it's also something that would grow. I mean, obviously, with a humble start, there's a humble resources to tap into. But still, as long as they're being appropriated properly, then obviously the community can build their trust into this. And therefore, we can move on from that point on. But I think we're at that breaking point where we really need to take that next step and see where we're heading from this point on, in order to kind of remove ourselves from this happy group of users who are just hacking away and trying to make their kernel not, you know, panic. You know. So basically, that being said, I know that we're running out of time, so I just want to mention one more thing. I think this is a very expansive idea, and there's no way we can cover this in 30 minutes that we have, actually 35 now, so I need to stop. But the idea is that if you would like to participate in some kind of an informal meeting this afternoon, we could set up a session on this as well as on LinuxAudio.org. Is there any members here of LinuxAudio.org here? Can you raise your hands, please? Just a couple? Okay, because Daniel also mentioned that there should be official meeting, in-person meeting, sometime taking place on this conference, so we should probably have that also taken care of at some point. So would the group of that is present here, would you be interested in having another session of brainstorming this and seeing, figuring it out whether it's going to be something worthwhile pursuing anytime soon? Sure. Okay, so what times do we have open this afternoon?
Workshops are starting at 3:30.
Okay.
And we have to check if there are free rooms, but later on it should be no problem.
Okay, yeah. I'll just post it out here somewhere. If I don't figure this something out in the next couple of minutes, I'll just post a big paper somewhere outside here letting you know when the paper session will happen and where it will happen, and I'll probably do that in the next couple of hours.
Okay, very important. We have some questions and comments from the internet, and they cannot be part of the BOF, so okay. They should.
Right, just very quickly, Stefan Nixon of the LiveVice project wanted to say that here he is 2,500 miles away from the conference, and he's burned his pizza because he's too busy listening to the lecture. And a breakfast pizza. Xavier, I apologize if I pronounce this incorrectly, I'm a Trien from Spain. Just wanted to make the point about, you're saying made in Linux, but one of the things that makes it possible is the GPL, and to acknowledge the GNU project and
GNU
that philosophy. I guess his comment was that why not include that in the logo in some way?
Sure. No, I think that's a great idea, so yes.
I had a comment myself. Paul's talking about how there's not that much money in the commercial software business, and my thought is that that's been mainly geared towards professional audio, and I think that there's a huge market in just opening up tools to the users, or just anybody who wants to be able to make sound. And I think part of it is this, that as a society, at least in America and probably around the world, over the last 100-150 years, we've gotten into this mind frame where art and music is something that's done by professionals, and it's not something that the average person participates in. But I think if we can make the tools accessible and affordable, as we are beginning to do here, that opens up another market segment. You know, we can get the whole world making sounds. Mm-hmm. But
okay.
Okay, so we have to finish now.
Sure.
Thank you very much, Itzo, for this very interesting talk.
Thank you.
Now we have a short break, maybe 5 minutes, and try to continue as soon as possible with Christoph Eckert on usability issues. Thank you.